Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping our listeners hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm Bob Davis, and a special treat today as I'm joined in the studio by our brother and longtime great friend, Richard Piper. Matt, it's good to have you sitting in for BC today.
Nice to be back.
Yeah, looking forward to sharing this time with you. We're going to have a good time talking about Jesus and his finished work on the cross. So, but friends, if it's 3:15 or 3 o'clock Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel. I'm trying to get out early. If it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and you can reach us right now at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or some issue you're dealing with and you'd like to discuss it, well, let us hear from you. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. Well, this month we're looking at the idea of forgiveness, what it is, how do you find it, does it apply all the time, all of those questions. And when Bob asked me to cover for him today, I didn't know how far in you were, so I just went to some interesting topic for me on forgiveness.
And there you go. Well,
and I may be ahead of him, I may be behind him, but I still think it's worthwhile. So the word forgive at its core means to send away. Now, if you think about it, what you realize is only the person sinned against can take this initiative. I can't send away my own sin.
Right, yeah.
I can only send away, if you do something against me and I forgive you, then I have sent away your sin.
Yes.
Not in the salvation sense, but I can forgive you. Well, this is what God has done. Only the person sinned against can take this initiative on behalf of the person or people who committed the offense.
Yeah.
So what did God do? How did he initiate this? He did it in two parts. First, in the death of Jesus. As we're told in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And we know from the rest of Hebrews that the blood of bulls and goats doesn't take away sin.
It doesn't do
but
it.
Jesus did. The second part of this initiation is the resurrection of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:17 tells us, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." So you have to have both. Now, when you hear us quite often talk about forgiveness, when you hear other ministers or teachers or churches talk about forgiveness, they usually talk about it in terms of the cross.
Right.
And that's okay. It's good, but it's not sufficient. And so someone would say, "I thought I was forgiven at the cross and then received life in Jesus' resurrection. What gives?" Well, my answer is, well, the Bible gives. As we just read, you have to have both the death and the resurrection for there to be forgiveness. Because if there was no resurrection, then Jesus failed.
Yes.
And we're still in our sins. So let me give you an example. I'll try to keep it brief. It's out of the Old Testament, of all places. It's in Numbers 14. And to refresh your memory, since I'm sure you all just read Numbers just the other day.
Just the other day.
Yeah. In chapter 13, Moses sends out the spies to check out the promised land. And they come back, and Caleb and Joshua say, "This place is ripe for the picking. Let's go." And the other 10 say, "Oh, we can't. They're too big. They're too tall. They're too strong." And the people, of course, believed.
The 10. Yes.
You know, there's strength in numbers.
Yeah.
And so 14 starts with the people wailing. They raised a loud cry, and they wept all night. You know, a couple of million people all going,
"We've come all this way."
Yeah. And so, you know, would that we had died in Egypt.
Yeah.
You know, why would we go across into this land where they will eat our children, figuratively speaking? They will kill our children. And it's just not worth it. And Caleb and Joshua come running back into the crowd and they say, "No, don't do this. The Lord has already gone before us. All we have to do is to go in like he promised, and it's ours." And they say, no. And they pick up stones to stone the two guys, and God's glory shows up at the tent of meeting. Boom. Silence. Okay. And God says to Moses, "I'm going to break out against these people, and I'm going to kill them all, and you're going to be my person. Now, you're a descendant of Abraham, so the promise still carries, but I'm going to make you a nation greater. And Moses says, no, Lord, don't do that. You don't want bad rumors to get started about, about who you are.
No.
So God says to Moses, okay, Caleb and Joshua will live, but because you said that those people across the river would kill your children, I will protect your children. Mm-hmm. But for 1 year, for every day the spies were in the land, you're going to wander in the wilderness. And the whole generation from age 20 upward is going to die in the wilderness. Yeah. Well, you notice God didn't kill everybody right then.
No.
But they did bear the responsibility for their sin. So don't take this literally, because I'm applying it in a different situation. If I reject what Jesus has done, like Israel rejected what God had done for them, you know, example after example after example of his power and his care, mm-hmm. how can I expect Jesus to do what only he can do if I've rejected him? Okay? If I continually ask him to do what he has already done, I'm actually displaying a very dangerous case of unbelief.
Yeah.
Now, how did Israel deal with this? When they finally figured out what God was telling them, they said, oh, no, we're going to go take the land now. And he said, don't do it. Mm-hmm. And they did it anyway. And they had their heads handed to them by the folks there. Don't go running off telling God what he's going to do and what he's not going to do. Jesus did something. God initiated that to us in the cross and the resurrection. So if you won't believe him, don't expect him to do something else.
Yeah.
But if you keep asking him for what he's already done, then you're showing unbelief. So let me put it as directly as I can. If I don't believe that Jesus was victorious over sin and death, if I refuse to accept what he offers freely, there is left for me nothing besides being buried in the wilderness. That's it.
That's it.
Okay? The Christ event is an all or nothing affair. In him I receive redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In him I receive eternal life. Otherwise, I remain spiritually dead, a sinner whose every act is an act of faithlessness. And that word was used by God in his conversation with Moses, and the word literally means fornication. These people have been unfaithful to me as their husband. Well, if we're going to be unfaithful to God as him desiring us to be his bride, the body of Christ, there's nothing else left. There is nothing I can do to initiate to him that will cause him to respond to me.
Mm-hmm.
So what to do? Accept God's initiative to us in Christ by faith. Then, having done that, rejoice in the forgiveness that is yours in him and rest in the assurance of his indestructible life. All is by grace through faith.
Absolutely. Richard, great thoughts as we opened Basic Gospel today. The voice you're hearing is Richard Piper, our longtime friend, our dear brother in Christ, has joined us to sit in for Bob Christopher today. And again, Richard, good to have you. Friends, we have open lines right now if you'd like to be a part of this edition and pose your question directly. If it is about 8 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and you can reach out and reach into the studio right now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. It is finished. Those three words sum up God's eternal victory over sin. That's what Jesus did by going to the cross. He finished forever the impact of sin on those who had come to him by faith. At Basic Gospel, we want you to know about it and live in this truth, truth that brings joy and peace and the sure knowledge of our forgiveness in the Lord Jesus. It's all detailed in It Is Finished, a six-message CD by Bob Christopher. We want to send you a copy of it to say thank you for your support of Basic Gospel. Be sure to request your copy when you make your gift this month. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. It is finished, and it really is.
It is.
844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel. We want to hear from you. 844-322-2742. Richard, a very, very succinct question from Marcos in Las Vegas. How do you know you're born again?
Okay. Thankfully, the Bible tells us. We don't have to make this up. Go to 1 John 5 and start reading around, verse 10. This will be long enough. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. What does it mean to be born again? It means to become spiritually alive. How do you become spiritually alive? I was just talking about it.
Yes.
God has initiated this awesome salvation to us. He did it by dealing with sin once and for all. And because of the cross and the resurrection, eternal life is ours for the taking.
Mm-hmm, right.
That's another initiative of God. Accept it. So when you're born again, you are made spiritually alive. The Holy Spirit, God himself, takes up residence in your spirit. And then that spirit, that new spirit, begins to communicate with you. And one of the very first things the Spirit says is, you are mine and no one can take you away.
Yes.
You are saved. You are a child of God. He's not going to talk about the things you need to do to improve. He's not going to talk about how much money you give. He's not going to talk about all the things you did when you were a crazy teenager. None of that.
None of that.
He's going to start with, you are mine and I am yours. That's assurance. And hang your hat on it. Bet your life on it. Don't look for some, I go to church often enough, and I get up early enough and read my Bible. None of that. It's not a behavioral thing. It's a spiritual thing. Yeah. You are either saved or you are not.
Yes. Marcos, hope that's a help to you. It should be, because that was very, very clear. But if you have further questions, hesitate to reach out to us again. And 844-322-2742 is the number to call right now. If you're hearing the live broadcast, we'd like to talk directly with you. It's 11 minutes past 3 Central Time, so if you're hearing the broadcast at that time, you can call 844-322-2742, and we want to talk with you right now. In the meantime, Richard, a Facebook question from Deborah. Is anger a sin?
No. Anger is an emotion. Emotions on their own are simply things. They are emotions. They are the feelings that come about when we think certain things or when things happen to us. Okay? Anger primarily is a response to fear. I'm driving down the road. Somebody nearly takes the front of my car off. My first response, my first emotional response is fear. And then I realize it was a stupid blankety-blank driver. Then the anger takes over.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay? What I do with the anger, how I deal with the anger, is the difference between sin and not sin. Mm-hmm. If I give vent to the anger and I run off my mouth or I run off my fists or whatever it is, and I take God's initiative into my own hands, then I'm doing something that is not based by grace through faith.
Yeah.
By definition, that's a sin. If in my anger I back away and say, Lord God, help me here, and the Spirit will give you truth to think about. Richard, you're not dead. You didn't have the accident.
Yeah.
You're driving down the road and you're fine. You need to pay attention to the other cars so you don't do to them what that car did to you.
Mm-hmm.
And he begins to explain what's going on. This conversation, right? You have this testimony in your heart. That means he's going to communicate, and he does a lot.
Yeah.
And if I will listen in my anger, then the anger goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And my response then is a by grace through faith response, and that is never sin.
Yeah.
It can't be. And, you know, obviously you don't pull out a gun and go after him in a road rage thing. That's just stupid.
Yes,
it's also illegal. That's also a sin.
Yeah.
I'm talking about responding by the Spirit rather than letting my emotions control me.
Good answer, Richard. Thank you for that. And Deborah, hope that's a help to you as well. Once again, we'll give that number very quickly, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel. Richard Piper joining me. I'm Bob Davis. We're glad you're here. Want to remind you, of course, that we're streaming live video to both Facebook and YouTube every day, the live video of this program, and you can kind of pull the curtain back and see what goes on inside the studio every day, and you can link at the top of the homepage at basicgospel.net, and just do that a minute or so before the top of the hour, 3 o'clock, and you'll see the live broadcast. See and hear the live broadcast. Well, Richard, we have this question from Michelle. Luke 6:26 is the reference, and the question is, who exactly were the false prophets, and do the scriptures state who spoke well of them?
Well, without getting into an awful lot of detail in history, there were people who spoke well of false prophets. Many of the kings in Israel and Judah looked for false prophets to tell them what they wanted to hear, and they rewarded them greatly. And when God's prophets showed up, they either killed them or chased them away or did whatever. So there's lots of history regarding that. So rather than try to pick out each individual example of it, let me take you to 2 Peter chapter 2, where Peter talks about false teachers. And the way he puts it is, don't be surprised.
Yeah.
There were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. It is a fact of life. Find a body of Christ anywhere, large, small group, it doesn't matter. At some point in time, you will find a false prophet trying to do things in and to that group that are hellish.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what it looks like. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them. So anybody who tells you that, Jesus isn't really who he claims to be, he didn't die for all sins once for all, he wasn't raised from the dead, or even if he was, he didn't bring eternal life, and on, just back away from that.
Yeah.
Go to the Word and find out. Many follow their shameful ways. So apparently many of these false prophets will have trouble in their personal lives. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them. It goes on down here a little bit farther. Bold and arrogant. There's a couple of characteristics of a false prophet. These men are not afraid to slander celestial beings. Yet even angels won't do that. Okay, they are like brute beasts, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed, and like beasts, they too will perish. These people are not your friends. They're very good communicators. There's nothing here that says they don't know how to talk.
Right.
They don't know how to put on a presentation. They don't know how to be your friend. None of that. What's at stake is what they're teaching and what will result if you follow that teaching. Mm-hmm. So your safety is not in running around trying to identify, well, is Bob Davis a false prophet? Mm-hmm. No. Listen to what Bob Davis says or what I say. Go to the Word of God and say, Lord, teach me the truth. Right? In Philippians 4, Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is of good report, these are the things that you're supposed to think about. Well, these are the things that the Spirit is teaching you from the inside out, and that is your protection against false prophets. You don't have to go hunting for them. You will find them quite naturally, but God is superior. He is able. He is full of grace and truth. Follow him. And the rest of these guys won't be a bother to you.
There you go. Richard, thank you for that. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. And, because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, you can be free of fear, guilt, and shame. Bob Christopher has shared that the day he fully realized that Jesus forgave him of all of his sins was the day that God's love actually broke through to him for the first time. And to underscore the truth of our total forgiveness through the cross of Jesus, well, we produced a new series to help you connect, with the love of God on a deeper level than ever before. It's a six-message CD called It Is Finished, and we want to send it to you as our thanks for your gift of support for Basic Gospel this month. Now, these messages will help you deepen the roots of your faith into the work of Christ and literally fill your heart with joy, with peace, and with freedom. And we want you to know that your gift to Basic Gospel will help many others experience the love of God through the finished work of Jesus. It is finished, and we want to send you a copy as our thanks for your support for Basic Gospel. Again, you can make your gift today at basicgospel.net, and just click that donate link there at the homepage, basicgospel.net.
If I could piggyback on that a little
bit,
there is no other topic that made more of a difference in my life than It Is Finished.
Yeah.
Because, I knew God loved me, and I passed it off as, well, he kind of has to. God is love, so if he doesn't love me, But I thought, I really thought that Jesus did a really good job in his life. and he was there to show me how to do a good job in my life.
Oh, yes.
And I never allowed "it is finished" to become a reality. Mm-hmm. And back when I first started learning about grace and began to apply it in my life and realized that the Spirit had been telling me all along, you know, it's finished. You don't have to carry this stuff anymore.
Yeah.
You don't have to make up for all the things you did wrong. Mm-hmm. When I finally accepted that, the freedom came. And then I could understand how much he loved me,
yeah,
and how much grace meant. And the call on my life, not to behave better, but to be his fully.
Yeah.
It changes everything. This is worthwhile.
Absolutely. It is finished, and we'll send it to you. We'd love you to have a copy, and you can make your gift at basicgospel.net, and we'll be glad to get one on the way to you. Well, Richard, a question from Charles, who writes to us from Albertville, Alabama, a YouTube viewer. He says, "I've been listening to you for quite a while on YouTube and have heard you talk about tithing. While serving overseas in the military, I really felt drawn to get back into church, and once I retired from the Marine Corps, I found a church close to my house that I really like. The pastor does a series of sermons on tithing every January, which made me study the subject for myself. I have concluded that it is Old Testament law and not for Christians today. Well, I revealed this to my pastor months ago, and this past Sunday, he started in his sermon that if you don't believe, or stated in his sermon that if you don't believe in tithing, he doesn't see how you can really be a Christian. To be honest, that angered me," he says. "Should I leave this church? I just really feel bad about the decision I'm going to have to make." That's from Charles in Albertville, Alabama.
I'm really sorry that Charles has had to go through this, yeah, because it sounds like he's found a home. There are people there that are ministering to him. He's ministering to them. It's a wonderful situation to be in. And then all of a sudden, the pastor brings out the hammer. And, given the military reference, I think tithing sermons are the IEDs of the Christian life.
Yeah.
Everybody can be going along just great. People are giving, et cetera, and then somebody gets up and starts talking about tithing. And people's cars are blowing up in the parking lot, and their lives are blowing up in the pews or in the chairs. That's a tragedy. It doesn't need to be that way. Charles studied this and came to his own conclusion, which is exactly the right conclusion.
Yes.
Tithing was a beautiful thing in the Old Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
People that had no other inheritance in the land, specifically the Levites, were cared for. People who needed food were cared for.
Yes.
People who were wandering through the country and ran out of food were cared for because the people gave.
Yes.
Today, we don't need that kind of help. Some people do, and you usually find it taken care of through churches and other organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Tithing has become nothing more than a way to pay your ministers and build your buildings.
Yeah.
And that's the tragedy. It's not the way God intended it to be. Look at 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, and you'll discover about generosity, the grace of giving. There's no law in this. You can't fail,
yeah,
at generous giving.
Right.
You just can't. I mean, God gave to us. Of course we give back. But you only give back what you can. You don't give back what you can't.
Right.
You know, you're not. There's no guilt to it. There's no law to it. It is purely the by grace, through faith response to what God has done for you. I mean, God owns this all, lock, stock, and barrel.
Yeah.
Every dollar, every piece of food, every bit of housing is his. Just use it for his glory. Give back as he has given to you.
Great insight, Richard. Thank you for that. And friends, thank you for being here today for Basic Gospel. Call us with your questions, any questions you might have. That number is 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. And once again, the love, prayers, and support of everyone who helps us keep this message of grace and the Lord Jesus Christ on the air is so much appreciated. And with your gift this month, we want to send you, as I said earlier, that new CD series, It Is Finished. If you haven't yet joined us, well, you can help keep the good news coming by donating anytime at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with our sincere thanks to Richard for being with us today, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye. We'll